Won't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. Please stand with us this morning as we worship the Lord. Put your hands together.
Do I have any grateful people in the house that can remember where they came from and where Jesus picked them up and placed them today? Let's testify.
Wandering in the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I tried with all my might, I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, oh vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. He told me that I was not alone. Hey,
pick me up.
Yeah,
turn me around.
He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior.
Because
he healed my heart, changed my name.
Forever free,
I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
Hey! I'm grateful this morning. Here we go.
I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you can keep it moving.
You ain't welcome here.
From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back. Oh,
he picked me up,
yeah.
Turned me around,
placed my feet
on
solid ground.
I thank the Master,
I thank the Savior,
because
he filled my heart,
he changed my name.
Forever free,
I'm not the same.
I thank the Master,
I thank the Savior,
I thank God.
Hey, he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Anybody worshiping and living in the light of God, hey.
Hell lost another one, I am free. I am free, I am free.
Declare,
hell lost another one, I am free. I am free
from sin, from death, from the grave.
Someone, I am free. I am free.
Come on.
I am free.
Hell lost another
one. I am free. I am free.
Come on. I am free.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free.
I am free.
Hell lost another one. I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
I'm free. Hell
lost another one. Lost another one. I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
Because
he healed
me up,
turned me around.
He placed my feet
on solid ground.
I thank the Master.
I thank the Savior.
Because he healed my heart.
He changed my name.
Forever free.
I'm not the same.
I thank the Master.
I thank the Savior.
I thank God.
If he did it for me, he can do the same thing for you. If you believe it, come on. Hey, hey, hey.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up.
Say,
get up out of that grave.
Come on.
Get up, get up, get up.
Hey.
Get up out of that grave.
Okay.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Come on.
Sing. Get up, get up, get up.
get up out of that grave.
Okay, get up, get up, get up, hey.
Get up out of that grave.
Okay, get up, get up, get up.
Get up out of that.
You don't have to stay where you are.
Get up, get up.
He can lift you
up.
Come on, say,
get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Okay, get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up.
Get up.
Because he picked me up. He turned me around. Placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because he healed my heart. Changed my name. Forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we all know this beautiful song, so just think about all the ways and the goodness of God. Sing it along with me. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me, and in all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Come on and sing it out. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest nights, you are close like no other. And I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. You have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, let's sing it again. And all my life.
All my life you have been faithful.
Oh.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Come on and sing.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Oh.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. 'Cause your
have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
I'm gonna sing of the goodness.
We bless you in this place. We worship you, God. You are holy, holy, and you are worthy, Father. Thank you for your presence in this place. Church, if you've ever known anything that God has done for you in your life, when you stand here in this worship service, you can't stand still. You have to pour out your love. It doesn't have to be this exuberant loud, but you have to worship him. He's so good. He's so worthy. He's awesome. And he deserves every ounce more than we could offer. So I encourage you in this moment to raise your hands and lean into this. Just worship him.
Glorify, I offer nothing less than all. Take me back to where we start.
just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to of mine that I was able to catch up with. She had been on her deathbed 3 times last year with liver and kidney failure. She's 32 years old, never had children, married. As soon as she got married, she got really sick. We thought we were going to lose her 3 times. She believed God, and they stood in faith that God was a healer and is a healer and will heal. Today, I can report that not only is she healed, but God is using her to bring a brand new baby into this world. New life. New life. That's who we're here to worship. That's the God we serve. Come on, church. I want you to get excited about the time we have that we encounter with him this morning.
Nothing else.
Everything we need is in him.
Nothing else.
from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Come on and sing that out loud, church. If you know him as healer, if you know him as redeemer,
all. Oh, come on. You're worthy of it all.
God of the breakthrough, yes he is.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
An attitude of worship. Oh, I know in this day and age, it's all about us. It's all about me. I walk into the doors of the church and I think about, what about me? God, what are you going to do for me? God, what do you have for me today? But I want you to lay that aside this morning. I want you to turn your eyes upon the one without whom we have no salvation, without whom we don't have a chance of seeing an eternity in glory. There's a one that is worthy of all of our praise, for he is the creator of all that you see. He is your creator. He is my creator. He is your savior. He is my savior. And it is a time where we have to bow our knee before our almighty God. And we have to declare that he is greater, and that he is most worthy, and that he deserves all the honor, and he deserves all the praise. And it doesn't matter whether you are comfortable in public. It doesn't matter whether you like the sound of your own voice. All that matters is that from your heart you worship the Creator, that you worship your Savior. For that step, as you step out of this body, says the Lord, the day that you step out of this earthly body, says the Lord, you are going to step onto streets of gold, and there's going to be nothing but worship that comes from your mouth. Because when you begin to see with those spiritual eyes what I have done, you'll fall down before me, says the Lord, and you'll know that I'm worthy of it all. And so this morning, Father, willingly, I say thank you for what you've done. I go back to, if it wasn't for you, where would I be? Thank you for what you've done. Let's sing that one more time, just between you and the Lord. Just worship him.
And to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You're worthy, Lord.
You're worthy of it all. The glory.
You're worthy, worthy, worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
glory. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah. He deserves the glory. Amen. He deserves the glory. You know, I don't let church become about anything else but the Lord. Don't let church become about what's in it for me. There's a lot in it for us. There's a lot in it for us. I'm not dismissing that. But this is a house of worship. We are the people of God. We gather to worship Him. We gather to thank Him. We gather to focus on Him. And when we do, the presence of God, the sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit fills this place. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Amen. Amen. Father, I just pray, just where you're standing right now, if you need healing in your body, if you need a touch from God in your family, in your life, just lay your hand right on yourself. Those that are watching online, if you need a touch from God, the anointing of God is so strong. Father, I thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. Father, I just release the healing power of God to flow into each and every person. Father, each one reaching out to you for a touch, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, whatever it is in their family. Father, right now, I just release. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you move up and down these aisles, that you move in the homes of those that are watching. Thank you for a mighty touch of your presence, your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Every yoke of bondage. Satan, we command you, take your hands off of God's people. We command you in the name of Jesus to bow your knee. We command sickness and cancer and disease to bow their knee at the name of Jesus. Father, we declare victory in every area. We thank you for healing that springs forth speedily. Thank you, Father, for miracles that begin to take place from this moment on. In Jesus' name. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them how good it is to see them, and you may be seated. See you this morning in that beautiful time of worship. Amen. So beautiful, so beautiful. You know what I love? What I love about our worship team is that they are not just musicians and singers, but they worship us. They worship the Lord, right? Well, here we are in the middle of summer. Is it hot enough? Hot enough for you yet? Praise God for air conditioning, right? Regan said amen. Their air conditioner went out, right? It's good if you're in the air conditioning business, but not if you're in the house without the air conditioning, right? Praise God. Well, we're so glad to see you in church today. You know, Pastor Steve and I pray for you through the week. We pray that God work in your life. I pray that you've been seeing God at work in your life, and we pray today that the message will speak to you and bless you, and that you'll be ministered to in our service. Amen. And welcome to all of you. I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service at Ascend Church, we love having visitors, and we just like to honor you. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to pass you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you. We're so glad you joined us today. And in that pack is a visitor card. There's a few things in there, but one is a guest card. If you don't see it in there, it's in the seat in front of you. It says guest. If you wouldn't mind just filling out some details for us and drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service. And please say hi afterwards. We'd love to meet you. So that's so, I love having visitors in our church. Amen. How about you? And to those that are watching online, welcome to our Send Church members. If you're traveling, we have families that are traveling through the summer. And I hope you've taken the time to stop and watch the service. But welcome. We're looking forward to seeing you back again. To those that are watching from other countries, other places, I don't believe it's an accident that you've tuned into this online church service today. We pray that God minister to you. Just put aside any distractions and let God speak to you. And we have various ways that people watch it. It's on Ascend Church YouTube, on Facebook Live. If you're on Facebook Live, go ahead and share it. Let us know where you're watching from. We're glad you're joining us in our service today. You can watch. And you know what I like is that those things are all available afterwards. So if you, sometimes you hear the word. A friend of ours was telling us that the word ministered to him. He went home and he watched it again and watched it again. You take notes, you get out your Bible, and it can minister to you again. So it's a great resource. And we're glad that you're joining in with us. I want to remind you of our four main purposes of our church that carries from here to the youth, to the children's ministry. The first one is that we want you to know God. Every time we hear, you know, the theme that the Lord gave Pastor Steve for this year is fit for the kingdom. Fit for the kingdom. We know that we're saved by grace, but we can be fit for the kingdom. So many people trying to get fit physically. I mean, I passed people running and cycling this morning, and I admire that. But I tell you what, if you've got to get fit for the kingdom of God, right? And one of the ways we do that is by knowing him and knowing who he is and what his character is and who we are in him. Second of all, second main purpose is that you'd find freedom in every area of your life, that you would discover your purpose and that you'd make a difference with your life. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Is it warm in here or is it just me? I've been so...
No, it's 72.
72.
If I go any lower than that, I'm going to have complaints from the ladies. In fact, I'm probably going to have complaints anyway.
Can't please everybody, babe. Have you figured that out?
Well, I'm trying my best. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Tell your neighbor it's good to see you today. If you don't know them, introduce yourself to them. Say hi to them. I'm Steve. I'm so glad you're here today. Amen. Be in God's house on the Lord's day. You know, Sunday's the Lord's day. I said, Sunday is the Lord's day. That's what the Bible says. What the Bible says, they gathered together on the Lord's day, which was Sunday. Sunday is a day to be, I'm telling you, to start out your day, your week, because this is the first day of the week. And to start out your week in God's house with God's people, worship, hearing God's word. Best way to start your week out. Amen. I want to just thank the worship team. Did a wonderful job today as usual. Give them a big round of applause. Won't you do that? They practice very hard and they do a wonderful job. They're talented. They're anointed. And I'm just thankful for the presence of the Lord that's here today. Because you know, when you worship God, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. In other words, when you worship him, that's when God's presence shows up. And the presence of God is here today. Amen. Wonderful. I just wanted to say that if you have your phone, I know that most of you do. I'm sure most of you, all of you do have your phone. The best thing you can do this morning on this phone is to go onto Facebook and share the live stream service. I just did it now. Join us online. Watch online today at Ascend Church. Just share it. From the Facebook. Let's see if we can break our record of shares today, because you never know who's going to see that. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Try to contain yourself. Don't get too excited now. But you never know who's going to see it. You never know whose life could be impacted because you simply shared something. That's if you've got the courage and the guts to let all your friends know that you love Jesus and that you are a believer. Maybe you don't want everyone to know that. I want everyone to know it. I'm not ashamed. The Bible says I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It's the power of God for salvation. Amen. You know, on Friday, something very significant happened in our nation. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Supreme Court of America overturned Roe versus Wade. And I can't tell you, I am so happy about it. I am so happy about it. I'm pro-life. I stand for life. And you know, since Roe versus Wade was passed in 1973, there have been 63 million abortions in America. Just America, 63 million babies have been murdered in the womb. 1 million a year, more. And I just want you to know that, do you know that only less than 0.5% of abortions, less than 0.5% of abortions are because of rape, incest, the health of the baby, or the mother's life in danger? Only less than 0.5%. Most abortions are performed because of convenience. And I, wherever you stand, you might not like what I'm saying, I think it's amazing that for years Christians have been praying and millions of babies are going to be saved. They're not going to be aborted. Do you think Jesus is happy about that today? Do you think God up in heaven is glad about that decision? He said, in your womb, I knew you in your womb. I knit you together in your womb. Mother's womb. So I'm glad about that. You know, Jill and I were teenagers. We were 18 when she became pregnant. We weren't married. And we had a lot of people telling us that she should have an abortion. And it sure would have been convenient. But we couldn't do that. And we made the decision. We got married. We've been married this October for 40 years. We have 4 children. 4 amazing children. We have 8 amazing grandchildren. And for me to think that none of that would be here. Now, if you've had an abortion, I want you to know God will forgive you. God will heal you. I have spoken to many ladies and ministered to many ladies that still have all kinds of hurts going on because of an abortion they had many years ago. And I want you to know we do not condemn you. The Lord loves you. He'll heal you. He'll forgive you. But let's not try and condone and justify that it's okay. I'm going to say, it's my body, my choice. Actually, it's not your body. It's another person's body inside your body. And in actual fact, the Bible says, if you're a believer, your body doesn't even belong to you. Your body belongs to God. Amen. Say, I love you, Pastor Steve. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I think, to me, the silence of so many ministers on this is deafening. All these ministers, famous, post on social media over every little social thing that goes on. But here we have a historic, something that we've been praying for years, and there's radio silence. Well, I can tell you right now that I am passionate about this, and I am thankful. And I thank God that babies, millions of babies will be saved. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We thank you, Father, that you are compassionate. We thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven us and you have cleansed us and you've brought us into your family. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, I thank you for anointing your word and for carrying it to every person's heart and mind. I thank you that faith rises up in our heart and all doubt and unbelief is removed. I thank you for bringing revelation to our minds, Lord. I thank you for speaking to every heart. And I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done today in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Abel and the team. Thank you so much. Today, I want to speak about the faith to forgive. This is something that every one of us has to deal with in our life. Every one of us, we have to deal with this issue of forgiving. And the scripture says, Jesus said in John chapter 13, in verse 34, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Everybody's supposed to know that we are followers of Jesus because of the love that they see that we have for each other. Now, the Bible says we should love everybody, but the scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says the world will know you, my disciples, because of the love they see that you have for each other, the body of Christ, the church, believers. Amen? And if we're going to love each other the way that God loves us, then we're going to have to forgive one another. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the scripture says, "Stop being mean." Some of you, that's worth coming to church for, just that. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, angry, quarreling, harsh words, dislike of others should have no place in your life. The New Living Translation says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, harsh words, slander." And verse 32 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you, because you belong to Christ." So the Bible says, God says, stop being mean, stop being unkind, arguing, disliking people, talking about people, slandering people. Rather, instead, be kind and forgive, just as God has forgiven you. And the Message Bible says, the Message translation says, "Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you." We are to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. Can you say amen, somebody? In Luke 17, verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come." The New King James says, "It's impossible that no offenses will come." In other words, Jesus was telling us that we are going to have opportunity to be offended, that we are going to be hurt, disappointed, even betrayed by people. There are times when people will say and do things that offend us, hurt our feelings, do things that could cause us to stumble. But in verse 3, he said, "So watch yourselves." Tell your neighbor, watch yourself. It's biblical. Watch yourselves. "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. And even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times they come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." We need more faith, because it takes faith to forgive. Can I tell you, it takes faith to forgive. And the disciples might have been thinking the same thing some of you may be thinking, and that is, you know, "I'll forgive you 1 time. I'm not going to forgive you 7 times in a day." But don't get too hung up on the 7-time deal, because look at in Matthew chapter 18, Peter came to the Lord and he said, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?" 7 times. So he thought Jesus was going to say, "You're right, man. You got it right." And he said, "No." Jesus said, "Not 7 times. 70 times 7. What? 490 times in a day? The point is, it's not how many. It's that we've got to be willing to forgive every time somebody offends us. Say, "That's good preaching, Pastor Steve." Have you been betrayed? Have you been hurt? Have you been lied about? Have you been lied to? Have you been mistreated? Have you been taken advantage of? It's one thing to forgive a small offense or to forgive one time. But it's not so easy when it's not one time. When it happened over and over and over, or it's a big thing, then it's not so easy to forgive. Especially when you've been betrayed by someone you trusted, someone you admired, someone that you love dearly. It's not so easy. Who betrayed you? Maybe it was a roommate who stole from you, a kid at school who bullied you, said something about you mean online. Maybe it was a boyfriend that lied to you, lied about you. Could have been a parent that you always tried so hard to please, no matter what you did. They always made you feel small, insignificant. Might have been a spouse you trusted, betrayed your trust. It could have been an authority figure in your life, someone who should have protected you, but instead they abused you. Do you really need to forgive something like that? Something that significant when they don't deserve to be forgiven? And if we are supposed to forgive, then how do we do it? How do we forgive when they're still doing things that feel unforgivable? How do you forgive when you don't feel like forgiving? I know for some, today's message is going to be challenging. But it's also going to set you free. Because God tells us clearly, as followers of Christ, followers of Jesus, that we must forgive. And the word forgive, I looked it up on the Google. And it says forgive. This is what it says. It means to give up resentment. To give up claim or requital against an offender. To forgive means to let it go. To give up resentment. To pardon somebody. To grant relief. That's what it means. Amen. And in Colossians 3 verse 13, the Bible says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Tell your neighbor, be ready to forgive. No, I can't hear you. Tell him again. Be ready to forgive. You better get ready because you're going to have opportunity, maybe even before you leave here today. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must, say must, you must forgive others. This is not an option. God says, remember, the Lord forgave you, you must forgive others. The New Living Translation says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. The Bible says we've got to make allowance for each other's faults. In other words, I'm not perfect. Can all the perfect people please raise your hand? All the perfect people, raise up your hand. How many of you know none of us are? That's why the Bible says make allowance for each other's faults and be ready to forgive. The Message Bible says it like this: forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And the Passion Bible says, tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way that you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this gift of forgiveness to them. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is giving others what God gave us in Christ. Forgiveness is offering to other people the same grace that God has offered to us. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, let me ask you, have you been forgiven of anything? Has God forgiven you of anything? Have you been the beneficiary of the mercy and the grace of our God that you didn't deserve? Anybody in here? I don't know about some of you, because maybe you're perfect. I mean, if you are, you just sit there and look self-righteous today, because that's what self-righteous people do. You know, they're good at looking self-righteous. Just sit there, look self-righteous, polish your halo, you perfect thing, you. And, you know, you've got to understand this church, this is a place for imperfect people, for forgiven people, for people who've been forgiven of much. That's what this is a place for. And I don't know what you've been forgiven of, but I've been forgiven of some sins in my life. I've been forgiven of stealing. God's forgiven me of lying. God's forgiven me of cheating. God's forgiven me of lust and hatred and doing some hurtful things, betrayal. God has forgiven me and been merciful to me. I've experienced grace that I didn't deserve. I've experienced mercy from God, forgiveness because of Jesus. How about you? I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for 1 John 1 verse 9 that tells me that if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful that's in the Bible, because I use that scripture a lot. How about you? Just about every day I have to say, Lord, please forgive me. Is it still okay to say sin in this culture? Because what I see a lot of and hear a lot of is, you know, today, nobody's a sinner. We're all good people. And you just got to be who you are. You got to be true to yourself. You got to be who you were born to be. Truthfully, we're all sinners. We have all messed up. We have all sinned against a holy God. What is sin? The word sin in the Greek is an archery term. And it simply means to miss the mark. We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short. But if we confess our sin before God, He forgives us and He cleanses us every single time. And forgiveness is giving to others what God has given to us. You see, the gospel is not just about receiving forgiveness. It's about giving forgiveness too. It's not just about being the recipient of the grace of God. It's about giving grace to other people as well. Can you say amen? Forgiveness doesn't just flow to us. As disciples of Jesus, forgiveness flows through us. It's undeserved mercy and grace that continues to flow through us. And the question I have today for you is, how's your flow? How's your flow of forgiveness in your life? Because Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 7. He said, God blesses those who are merciful. They will be shown mercy. He said in Matthew 9, verse 13, I want you to be merciful to others. Say this. Say, God wants me to be merciful to others. Jesus said in Luke 6, 36, be merciful just as your Father is also merciful. And in James 2, verse 13, it says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. Now, I don't know about you, but I need God's mercy. I know me. I need God's mercy. When I stand before the Lord one day, and every single one of us is going to stand and give an account before God. Every one of us. I have people, you know, sometimes stop coming to church and I call them, and eventually when I can reach them, because sometimes they avoid me, then I just keep on calling them. I'm worse than a telemarketer. You'll have to block me. I go after you. And I'll call people and they start defending themselves. They start justifying. Let me tell you something. When you stand before God, you're not going to be able to justify, you're not going to be able to defend, and you're not going to be able to argue with God. You're going to give an account to the Lord. I want God to be merciful to me. And so I try my best to be merciful to other people. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, instead, be kind and merciful. And forgive others. You see, forgiveness is extending mercy. It's giving mercy where it is not deserved. In the Lord's Prayer, how many of you know the Lord's Prayer? How does the Lord's Prayer go? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, even as, verse 12, Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Are you sure you want to pray that prayer? Are you sure you want to pray, Lord, forgive me just as I forgave them? Forgive me just as I forgave my boss that I still hate and I can't stand. Forgive me just as I forgave my ex-spouse that I wish was dead. Forgive me just as, let me tell you, we got to forgive others the way we want God to forgive us. It's so mind-boggling that we who say we've been forgiven of so much are often so stingy when it comes to sharing the forgiveness that we have been given. In Matthew 6, verse 14, Jesus said, if you forgive others for the wrongs that they do to you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Can you handle that? That's the truth. If you don't forgive others, the Bible says God won't forgive you. That's the number one reason why I forgive people. Number one. Doesn't matter if I feel like it. I might feel like pummeling your face to a bloody pulp. That's what I feel like. Am I the only one who feels like that? But I don't do it. I forgive you because God, I want God to forgive me. In Luke 6, verse 37, it says, forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. Amen. Jesus told the parable about a man who owed a king a debt that he couldn't pay. He owed 10,000 talents of gold, which is equivalent today to $10 billion. And he couldn't pay it. $10 billion. He was in debt. And so the king was about to have him and all of his family arrested, thrown in jail, and he pleaded for mercy. And the king forgave him. But then the same man who was forgiven of $10 billion debt went and found a co-worker who owed him $2,000 and grabbed him by the neck and said, pay me what you owe me. And the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 32, the king called in the man that he had forgiven, and he said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Now watch verse 35. Watch verse 35. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Do we believe that or not? Do you believe that? Do you believe the words of Jesus? I've had people just recently leave the church, families leave the church, because they got upset about what something somebody did or somebody said to them. Yeah, it had nothing to do with me. I mean, usually it's me. Usually they leave it something about me. But this was nothing to do with me and the whole family. And what it basically comes down to, they are not willing to forgive. That's what it comes down to. And it's not a big thing. It's a small thing. They're not willing to forgive. Let me tell you, God has forgiven us of a debt that we can never repay. And he expects us to forgive people who wrong us. The question today is, how's your forgiveness flow? Ask your neighbor, how's your flow? How's your flow? How's your forgiveness flow? Are you willing to forgive just as God forgives you? How does God forgive you? The Bible says we must forgive others just as God forgives us. Is that true? Is this true? How does God forgive you? Because some people say, well, I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget it. I'm never going to forget it. I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Is that how God forgives you? Is that how God forgives us? Do you come and say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I confess I lied. I lost my temper. I said something. I shouldn't have said it. Please forgive me, Lord. And the Lord says, I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget it. That's not forgiveness. The scripture says in Isaiah 43, verse 25, God said, I am he who blots out your transgressions, which means sin, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The New Living Translation says, I'll never think of them again. I'll never think of them again. The Contemporary Version says, I'll forget the wrongs you've done. I won't remember. I won't think of it. I'll forget it. Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I demonstrate my mercy to them, and I will forgive their evil deeds, and I will never remember again their sins. I'm so glad when God forgives us, he doesn't remember it. He doesn't hold it against us. The Bible says he doesn't think about it. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God have a memory problem? Is God just so old that he doesn't remember things anymore? I thought about it. I thought, well, if I must forgive just as God forgives, and God forgives and he forgets, he doesn't think about it, how can I possibly forgive someone and I've still got memory of it? God knows everything. God knows everything. How does God forget about your sin? Because he chooses to. You see, you've got to do the same thing. Because if we forgive people just as God forgives us, then we're going to not hold on to it. We're going to forget about it. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to hold grudges against people. I'm not saying, you know, it never happened. We're not saying what they did wasn't wrong. I'm not saying you've got to be best friends with them. You've got to hang out with them every day. You've got to go on vacation with them. You've got to like everything they post on social media, put a big old lovely smile on there. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying you've got to let it go. You've got to choose to let that go. And when the enemy tries to remind you, he tries to remind you of what they did. You say, no, devil, I have forgiven them, and I don't hold it against them. I've forgiven them. That's gone. I've let that go. Aren't you glad that forgiveness isn't fair? Forgiveness isn't fair. That's not fair, Pastor Steve. You know what they did to me. How can you ask me to forgive them? Because forgiveness isn't fair. I'm just letting you off for no reason. Everything you did that was wrong, oh, it's now gone. I'm just letting it go. That's not fair. You know what's fair? To want to pay you back. You hurt me, and justice says that I got to repay you. But you know what? We like it when God's not fair to us. Aren't you glad that God's not always fair to give you what you deserve? Because if God was always fair, I'd get what my sins deserve. God is always just, but he's not always fair. And thank God he's not fair to our benefit. We benefit. He's not fair. His mercy, he treats us better than what we deserve. There ain't one of us that deserves to be forgiven. Not one of us. It's the mercy of God. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, "For he has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. For his mercy toward those who fear and honor him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west." Thank God. God doesn't treat us the way our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our sins. We deserve death. We deserve hell. Can I tell you, you and I deserve death and hell. But God gives us mercy and grace. Why does God tell us to forgive? Because he loves you so much. God doesn't tell you to forgive to heal the other person. God asks you and tells you to forgive to heal you. Because forgiving someone else may not always set them free, but it'll always set you free. I'm telling you, forgiveness is the key to living in freedom. It's the secret to being at peace. It's the power behind your faith. It can save your marriage. It can restore relationships. It can release God's blessing in your life. We all have unfair things happen to us in life, and we can choose to hold on to that hurt, become bitter, angry, and let it poison our future. Or we can choose to let it go and trust God to make it up to us. Can you say amen, somebody? Let me tell you, unforgiveness will stop your faith. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. In Galatians 5, verse 6, the Bible says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Do you know that faith works through love? Do you know that love is what makes your faith work? That's what Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24. Jesus said, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive. Forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, why did Jesus, he's talking about whatever you ask God, if you believe you receive, you will have it. But then he says, make sure you forgive. Because if we don't forgive, it hinders our prayers. Amen. Jesus knows unforgiveness will hinder our prayers, hinder our faith. The Apostle Paul knew this. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, listen what the Apostle Paul said. "A further reason for forgiveness is to keep from being outsmarted by Satan, for we know what he's trying to do." A further reason to forgive. Why should I forgive, Pastor Steve? So you don't let the devil get the best of you. So you don't let the devil take advantage of you. That's what the New King James says like that. He says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." You see, you've got to understand what the enemy's trying to do to you. The enemy's trying to stop the blessings of God in your life. The enemy's trying to get you bitter, holding on to offense. The enemy wants to stop you from coming to church. Can I tell you, if you don't know this, the devil does not want you to sit in church every Sunday. I'm not talking about some dead religious place where you don't learn the Word of God. You just go through a ritual every week. I'm talking about a church like this that preaches the Word of God. And every week you learn God's Word. The devil don't want you here. So what's he going to do? He's going to do everything he can to get you mad and upset at this one, upset at that one, to stop you from coming to church. Because pretty soon, let me tell you right now, pretty soon, you stop going to church, and pretty soon you find you far away from God, because the devil's really trying to stop you from following Jesus. He's trying to stop you from going to heaven. He's trying to take you to hell with him. That's really what he's trying to do. That's the way I've always seen it. Since the time I was 16 years old, I got saved at 16 in a church. And I've seen thousands of people. Over 40 years, I've seen thousands of people give their life to Christ, start coming to church, and after a few months or a few years, they got upset with this one, got upset with that one, got upset with the pastor, stopped going to church, and the next thing you know, they think it's no big deal. Trust me, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. When you withdraw and you stop going to church, it's like I put a picture on social media this week. It was a picture of some zebra. And there was one zebra by itself and the lion's chasing the... How many of you know that a lion, a predator, goes for those who separate from the herd? Let me tell you, when you separate from church and the church family, you become a target. You're out there on your own, baby. I don't know about you. Someone said, well, the church hurt me. I've been hurt in church more than probably any of you. Because if there's anyone who gets hurt, it's the pastor. But I refuse to hold on to that. I let it go. I see someone who used to love me and be a big supporter, and the next thing they left, and now they don't like me. Now they talk bad about me, and they don't think I hear about it. I hear about it. When I see them on the street, I have to smile. How are you doing? As I refuse to hold anything against you. It's not worth. I'm not going to stop the blessings of God, and I'm going to get into bitterness, and I'm not going to let the enemy take advantage of me. I am not ignorant of his devices. Unforgiveness lets the enemy take advantage of you. Listen, can I say to you, don't let him outsmart you. Don't be a dum-dum. Don't be a dummy. Because seriously, when you get out of church and you're out there, man, you're in a place where the enemy can take advantage of you. Now, you may not think that you can forgive. You may say, Pastor Steve, they hurt me so bad. Maybe your ex caused you so much pain. Maybe a friend betrayed you, and you're just having a hard time letting that go. Listen, remember, you're not forgiving for their sake. You're forgiving for your own sake. Because when you forgive, you take away their power to hurt you anymore. The mistake we make is we hold on to it. And we go around angry and bitter, resentful. And really, what we're doing is we're allowing that person to continue to hurt us in our life. Because they're out there enjoying their life. We're not hurting them by staying angry. We're poisoning our own life. I know some people who are still mad at someone who's dead and gone. They still got unforgiveness toward their parents, or a former boss, or an ex-spouse. It's bad enough they hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you by staying angry. I heard it said, when you forgive, you're setting a prisoner free. But you soon realize the prisoner wasn't the other person. The prisoner was you. Because what they did, it may have been wrong. But my challenge is, don't let that ruin the rest of your life. Don't let that affect the rest of your life. They might have betrayed you. They might have mistreated you. They might have lied about you. I mean, welcome to the club. But what they did is not worth missing your destiny. You can't let a divorce, a betrayal, a bad childhood keep you from the awesome future that God has in store for your life. You've got to let it go and move forward. Your destiny is too great to let what someone did to you keep you from moving forward. Forgiveness, let me tell you, it's not about just being nice and kind and being the right thing to do. Forgiveness is about not missing the amazing future and destiny that God has for your life. You may have a valid reason to be angry. You were mistreated when you were younger. It was not your fault. You had no control over it. What they did was not right. Forgiveness doesn't mean you excuse their behavior. It doesn't mean you lessen the offense. I'm not saying you got to be best friends with them. I'm simply saying you need to let it go. Stop dwelling on it, replaying it over and over in your mind. Quit giving time and emotional energy. You have a destiny to fulfill. And every time you let that consume your thoughts and you go back and replay how bad it was and how unfairly you were treated, let me tell you, it's like you opening up an old wound. And when you don't let it go, it won't heal properly. It's like a bruise that won't go away. If you've ever gotten a big bruise, maybe, you know, someone accidentally bumps against it, it's sensitive and it's painful. So you end up being overprotective. Make sure no one gets close to it. It's the same way when you've been bruised emotionally.
We've been hurt because someone did us wrong. If we don't let it heal so that bruise can go away, then we too become oversensitive. We'll be defensive about the little, small, tiny things. We end up not having good relationships. There are ladies that don't trust men because of one messed up man who hurt her. And now all men are pigs. They never let that go. Now they're defensive, distrustful. They think all men are bad, all men out to get them. The scripture says in Luke 14, Jesus said he came to set at liberty those who are bruised. He came to set free those who are bruised. See, we're not really free if we're bruised. If you want that bruise to go away, if you want to walk in freedom, the freedom that belongs to you in Christ, then you need to forgive the wrongs. Let it go. Move forward in your life. Because there's nothing the enemy would love any more than for you to let one bad thing that happened or one messed up person that hurt you or one injustice to ruin the rest of your life. You got to be determined, man. You got to be determined and say, no way, my destiny's too great. My future's too bright. My God is too big to let what someone did or didn't do to me to cause me to get stuck where I am. I'm going to shake that off and I'm going to press forward. I know God has a bright future in front of me and I'm moving forward in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you're holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It really is. It might have been painful what happened, but listen, don't waste your pain because God wants to use your pain to promote you. In Hebrews 10, verse 30, this is what the Bible says. It says, vengeance is mine. Retribution and the meting out of justice rests with me. I will repay. I will exact the compensation, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge and determine and solve and settle the cause and the cases of these people. You see, I'd rather let God settle my case. I'd rather let God fight my battles. He's never lost one. I let God. Someone comes against me, and believe me, I had them come against me, man. I had people come against me. I know what it's like. I just forgive, let it go, and let God settle my case. Some of you need your cases settled. You've had unfair things happen to you. Maybe someone stole your childhood. Someone left you with children to raise by yourself. Maybe a business partner cheated you, wronged you. You could easily be angry, bitter, want to pay them back. Be encouraged. Our God is a just God. He knows every person who hurt you, every person that violated you, every person that left you alone and afraid. God has seen it all. No one else might have seen it. No one else might know, but God, He saw it and He knows that it wasn't right. And He's saying, listen, I'll settle your case. I'll make your wrongs right. I'm the one. Vengeance is mine. I'll take care of it. Because let me tell you, when God's not just going to pay you back what you deserve. God promised He'll give you double for every unfair thing that happened. He'll give you back double. Isaiah 61 verse 7, because you got a double share, a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled and your joy will go on forever. Because of what happened to you, I'm going to double the blessings in your life. I had this intended, but I'm going to double it now because of what happened. You kept the right heart. You forgave. You let it go. I'm going to make it up to you. I'd rather have God make it up to me. Every person who lied about you, try to make you look bad, you let it go and double is coming. Those people who violated you, forgive them. Double is on the way. That business partner that cheated you, get rid of the resentment, and double is coming your way. In Jesus' name. God never brings you out the same way. Let me tell you, He'll make the enemy pay for bringing that injustice into your life. But you got to do your part, and you got to let it go. As long as you're going around with resentment, holding on to grudges, then God cannot settle it for you. Rather, let God be your vindicator. Let God settle your cases for you. Amen. It's not easy to forgive, man. It's easy to hold a grudge, live in bitterness. It's easy to wish the worst for someone who hurt you. It takes faith to forgive. Amen. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. What does faith do? Faith believes and does what God says. No matter how I feel about it, I'm going to do what God says. Faith enables me to see an opportunity for freedom where others only see an opportunity for an offense. Faith empowers me. Faith doesn't mean that you feel gracious. In fact, you may not feel like forgiving. But faith activates long before feelings. I'm choosing by faith to forgive. I may not feel like it in my flesh. I may still be angry. I may still feel betrayed. But by faith, I'm choosing to offer the same forgiveness that God has given to me. It takes faith to forgive. And sometimes forgiveness is a process. I mean, sometimes it doesn't always happen overnight. You don't pray one prayer and never think about it again. It's a process you have to walk out. But if you have the desire to forgive, and every day you ask God to help you, then let me tell you, little by little, those negative feelings will get less and less. And one day you'll look up and you will have totally forgotten about it. And it won't affect you at all. Amen. It takes faith to forgive. It takes faith to believe. To believe that on the other side of that offense, there's something better than holding a grudge. It takes faith to believe what God said is true. I mean, I want to talk to those of you who maybe in your marriage, you're struggling right now. Maybe there's been betrayal in your marriage. I just spoke to a friend of mine. Devastated. Found out his wife's having an affair. She filed for divorce. Let me tell you, when you have biblical grounds for divorce. Adultery is biblical grounds for divorce. But adultery is also grounds for forgiveness. You can choose to walk away. And you can choose to have faith and offer something that they don't deserve. I can't tell you what to do in your marriage. But can I tell you, every good marriage is made up of two good forgivers. If you're not willing to forgive, you're going to have a hard time in marriage. You talk to people married for 40 years. What's the secret? We're good at forgiving. Any married people out there can relate to what I'm saying to you today? Because you know what? We're all imperfect. Because I need so much mercy, I want to offer mercy to other people. Because I need so much mercy. You may ask, how much forgiveness do they deserve, Pastor Steve? We're not asking how much forgiveness they deserve. We're asking, how much freedom do you desire? How much freedom do you desire? Let it go. It takes faith to forgive. It's choosing to say, Lord, what they did to me, it's not going to hold me a prisoner anymore. What you said about me, it's not going to limit my future. I'm not going to let it hold me down. I'm not going to let it pollute my heart. I'm not going to let it pollute my soul. What you said was wrong. Might have been years of abuse, but I'm not going to let it rob me from years of my future by continuing to dwell on the past. By faith I choose. I'm going to let it go. I'm not a victim anymore. I'm not a prisoner anymore. Amen? See, we can't change what they did, but we can let God change our future. Forgiveness doesn't change the past. It changes your soul and it changes your future. I said forgiveness doesn't change the past, but it changes your soul and it changes your future. Forgiveness is offering to others the very same thing that God has given you. I pray, Lord, increase our faith today to forgive. Amen. I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you today for a church full of people that come prepared every week to hear your word and let your Holy Spirit do a healing work in their life. God, I pray that you would do spiritual surgery on hearts today. Do a healing work. I pray that those who have been living with the pain of the past, let that pain fade away as your forgiveness washes over us today. I know, Lord, it may not be fair, but God, we receive grace from you. Help us to offer forgiveness and grace to others. Increase our faith to forgive as you've forgiven us. Say this with me today. Say, I choose to forgive everyone and anyone who's wronged me. No matter who it is, today I let it go. Say it. Say, I forgive anyone who's hurt me, betrayed me. I'm not holding it against them any longer. I let it go today. Lord, I forgive others just as you have forgiven me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Be ready to forgive. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready to forgive. Be ready to forgive. But you know what's always amazing to me? Is people that sit and hear this kind of sermon. They're smiling today. Yeah, amen. Yeah, Pastor Steve. But tomorrow, when you get that opportunity, don't forget what you heard today. Be ready to forgive. Because really, it's to your benefit. Everything God tells you to do, because he loves you. He wants the best for you. And unforgiveness will damage your soul. And it'll limit what God wants to do. It'll hinder your faith. It'll hinder your prayers. It ain't worth it, man. I'm forgiving them. Amen. Do you receive this today? Do you get something out of this today? Praise the Lord. Well, listen, I want you to just bow your head for a moment. Everybody, just close your eyes if you would. I want to pray this morning for anyone who's here. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I can't say that I'm absolutely certain that if I died today, that I'd go to heaven. Can I tell you the great best news that I ever heard is that you can walk out of here this morning and you can know for sure. You can be certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Can I tell you that heaven is a real place? Hell is a real place. You can know for sure that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every sin and every mistake that you've committed in your life, that it is forgiven and it is washed away. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up right where you're sitting. You say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that God is with me. I want to know that everything is right and well between me and the Lord. I want God's blessing on my life. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included, I'm about to pray. If you want to be included in this prayer, then I ask you right now to just slip your hand up high. To just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. Lift it up now. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Amen. Wonderful. Look up at me. Come on, Pastor Jill. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came to church today. I don't know about you. Next week, I felt led. I'm going to speak about overcoming anxiety in your life. Living worry-free. Being free of anxiety. That's what I'm going to talk about next week.
Are we going to do July 4th? We're going to do burgers?
Next, yes. For July 4th, we're going to have burgers and hot dogs.
After service, so that'll be great too.
After church, next Sunday.
Good preaching. I tell you what, that word has set me free in my life. You know what? I try not to look at people. When you see offenses, try not to look at people. Look beyond and just watch the devil trying to trip you up. And it's between me and God. It's like, I'm not letting anything come in between. Amen. And it helps you just walk free and full of joy. Amen. Well, now's the time in the service where we're going to have the opportunity to give. And Pastor Steve has been preaching the last few weeks on Beyond Blessed. And it really, yeah, if you haven't seen, if you haven't heard that teaching, just watch it on the app. But I'm going to read a couple of verses to you from Proverbs 24. It's going to come up Proverbs 11, verse 24. It says, there is one. Now, remember, Proverbs is a book of wisdom, right? It says, there is one who generously scatters abroad and increases all the more. And there is the one who withholds what is justly due, but that results only in want and poverty. The generous man is a source of blessing. Say, the generous person is a source of blessing. When we give and we're generous, it is a source of blessing. And it says, and they shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity that he has sown. So God says that there's two ways you can go. You can go the generous route, or you can go withholding route. But one is going to result in blessing, and it's going to bless others. So other people will be blessed, and you'll be blessed. And the other way leads to poverty. It's like really, I love what Pastor Steve said right there at the end. Whatever God tells us is for our benefit. He's like, it's like when you tell your kids, pick this one. There's two ways you can go. Please pick this one, because you know what's on the end of it. There's blessing on the end of generosity. Amen. And we're very grateful, thankful to those faithful tithers and givers in our church, those that watch online and you give. We have people that support us generously every week. They send their tithe that we that don't even attend our church because they're in other areas. And we appreciate your giving. Actually, this week, we have various ways that you can give. It'll come up on the screen other than that. But we've got various ways you can give, but we've added our church banks with PNC, and they never had Zelle before this week for business accounts. And so we've added Zelle. I've still yet got to put that up there. I'm going to put that in the lobby if anybody wants to just use that QR code. We'll have it more readily available next week, but just to make it convenient. But we appreciate you giving. We pray for God's blessing on your life. Pastor Steve was praying yesterday. He was just calling our people by name, and he was saying, Father, bless their business. Just bring great prosperity into their hand. Why? Because we know how faithful you are to give to the kingdom of God. We know how God's kingdom benefits. And so we're on your side when it comes to you increasing and being blessed. Amen. So as we give right now, those that are watching online, just go ahead. You can click the give button and it'll lead you through a short process. Father, we thank you for each and every man, woman, and child that are watching and giving, every family represented. Yes. Father, you know their life. You know their needs. Father, we put our trust in you today. Thank you. Father, as we give our tithe, we don't withhold what is justly due, but we give what is right unto you. We give with generosity. We thank you that blessings come upon them and overtake them. Yes. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to add something?
Abel's going to mention something.
Yes, he is.
I just want to mention to you that we are excited to have Prophet Ed Trout back with us in the month of July. We have him on Saturday, July 23rd. We're doing a prophetic seminar from 9 until 12. And then Sunday, the 24th of July, he'll be with us at 10 a.m. And again at 7 p.m. We'll have an extra service on that Sunday. So that's July 23rd and July 24th. Prophet Ed Trout's going to be with us. Amazing ministry. How many of you know Prophet Ed Trout? Wave your hand if you do. If you've never ever been in one of his meetings, really amazing. He prophesies over people with such detail, such accuracy. He's a New Testament prophet. Abel knows him well. He's been to a number of his prophetic seminars. So we're excited about that. What's happening today?
Yeah,
Later on?
So we got two announcements. One for tonight. We're going to have our Send Youth is meeting again tonight at 5 p.m. So if you have a son or daughter from the ages of 13 to 18, basically middle school and high school, we encourage you guys to bring them here. It's going to be a fun night filled with games. We do worship, have a teaching of the Word of God, and we close it with a discussion where it gives the kids a time to respond to the Word. And we've seen so many testimonies from kids, salvations already coming through, kids giving their heart to the Lord. And really, it's just a blessing to see that the next generation is being raised up. And I mean, you can ask them yourselves, but it's really encouraging to see their lives being transformed, learning about the authority that they carry through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you guys to bring youth. It starts at 5 p.m. tonight, and it's every other Sunday. And then the second announcement, we're doing our Thursday prayer and worship night. So if you guys, I know some of you maybe haven't come and check us out, so I encourage you guys just to come for one night and just experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, because one night can change your life just being in the presence of the Lord. And me personally, my life's been changed just leading it, but I've noticed it's a ripple effect into your family's lives, into your friends' lives. So you just being there and being in the presence of the Lord has a profound effect that you can't even see in the natural realm till later. So, it starts at 7 p.m. And you guys, it's kind of an open door, so you can come and leave as you wish. But that's pretty much it.
Praise God, Abel. Will you close? Won't you stand with us? Will you close in prayer for us today? Let's stand up together as we close in prayer. Abel's going to close us out today.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, humbly. We thank you for everything you provided for us, all the provision, all the protection, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord, that goes before and just softens our heart, God. Thank you for the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ, the blood on the mercy seat through Jesus, that God sees us as perfect and righteous and holy, Lord. We thank you as we take this word and we go out this week, that Holy Spirit, you would lead us and guide us to forgive those people that maybe we don't even know that need forgiving. That we would walk into a greater freedom, Lord. We give you the glory and the honor for your word, Lord, and for this time in your presence. It's an honor and a privilege. We love you, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. Thanks for coming. We hope to see you next week, Sunday at 10 a.m. Have a great week.
Could sing these songs as I own.